When two strikingly different men, one a Marine veteran and a staunch Republican, and the other a true blue liberal son of a single mother from Berkeley, first met at Yale Law School, the last thing they expected from each other was a friendship. But that's exactly what they found. The unlikely pair set out in a Volvo to see the country from a fresh perspective through each other's eyes. In the new book, Union, A Democrat, A Republican, and A Search for Common Ground, Jordan Blaschuk and Christopher Haugh hit the road to explore the land that they love and to find out what can bring us together in an era of extreme strife and partisanship. The book is now out, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Chris and Jordan to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A delight to have you both here.
Well, thank you, Joe, and we're very excited to chat with you.
All right. Jordan, let us begin with you. How did this begin and the sense of, I told the story just a moment ago, but give us a sense of when you thought, okay, this can be something, we'll take the classic good old-fashioned American road trip and try to accomplish something here.
Yeah. So Chris and I met in 2015. We were both at Yale Law School, and I had just gotten out of the Marine Corps. Chris had just left the State Department. And we struck up this great early friendship, and we bonded over things that we both loved, like great literature, war reporting, history, and travel. And as the year went on, we found that our great conversations ended up getting derailed by the 2016 election. And starting around spring 2016, every conversation we had kind of ended in shouting matches and fights about politics. And at the end of that first year of knowing each other, I had to be in L.A. for my sister's wedding, and I asked Chris if he wanted to go on a trip with me. And on the road, we just found that we were able to talk to each other again, and the noise turned down. We had these long, beautiful conversations, and we met some people who really inspired us and showed us that there was more going on across the country, and we felt that we just had to keep getting out on the road to see more. And that was sort of the genesis of the book.
So, Chris, how much of it is that you wanted to talk to each other, and how much of it was eventually that it became of talking to other people?
Well, it certainly started as a conversation between Jordan and I. By the time we went on our second road trip, it really was a place where we could, the road was a place that we could get away, where the sort of usual modes of conversation were stripped away, and we could actually talk vulnerably and talk about what we really felt. But then, especially on that second road trip, when we had a chance to go to a Trump rally in Phoenix, spent a couple days an afternoon with some veterans in Page, Arizona, that it really started to become more about the people we were meeting. And the ultimate product is kind of a combination of both.
So just staying with you, Chris, for a moment. So how did you want to go to a Trump rally, or was there some negotiation that went into that?
Strangely enough, it was me, the liberal, who initially proposed the idea. Although I will say, when we were driving south in California, I didn't actually think we would be able to make it or be able to get in. So it was kind of a flight of fancy. And of course, Jordan jumped at the opportunity, and I immediately started to regret my idea. But it actually turned out to be really eye-opening for both of us. And I think our biggest takeaway was how we saw the same things. We were still friends who would fight tooth and nail about politics. But while we were there, we said, wow, the president is really moving this room. You know, his charisma in front of these people is undeniable. But there is an element on the fringes. And we both saw that. And then we went outside and we saw the protesters, and we were both inspired by, you know, the show of emotion and a desire to change, but also how there were elements who maybe wanted to break things rather than change things. And the more we talked, the more we realized that we saw things through the same pair of eyes, which was quite revelatory for both of us.
Jordan, as you started out, it seems in reading the book that you were the one that started out being like the optimist, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I started the book as an optimist. I think one of the sort of frequent fights that Chris and I had early on was this deeper question of, was America healthy, vibrant, and strong, or was it coming apart? And as we set off on the road, I was sure that we would find healthy signs for America everywhere we went, that the people we met would be warm and hospitable and good, and we'd see signs that American life was thriving. And Chris was more skeptical. And drawing from his journalist background, he wanted to go see it before he took my word on that. And a lot of our journey was trying to reconcile our two different views. And on the road, we found both. There was evidence that there are strong parts of American life, and there was some evidence that there are some really deep problems that we face as a society. And by the end of the book, we were able to kind of reconcile our two views on this.
So, Jordan, bring us to Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is a place where you met a woman and really started to shake that optimism for you.
Yeah, and Tulsa for us kind of embodies this contradiction between the optimist and skeptic, between me and Chris. We actually were never planning to stay in Tulsa. We were driving through. We thought we would just stop for dinner, and we met someone there who, after hearing about our project, said, just give me 24 hours. And he ended up setting up a bunch of meetings with us so that we could learn about the city. And Tulsa has this fascinating, incredible history where they had these terrible racial divides back before 1921, which all culminated in the 1921 race massacre that decimated Black Wall Street, which up until then was the wealthiest Black population in America. And since then, the city has really struggled with these racial tensions, and they have a lot of problems today still with racial divides. The city is nearly split between kind of white and Black Tulsa. And they also have a problem with drugs, like many cities in America, and they have an over-incarceration problem. They have the highest, or Oklahoma has the highest incarceration rate of any state in America. And while we were there, we met this woman, Mimi Teresh, who runs a prison diversion program in Tulsa. And she walked us through their program. She told us about what the system was doing and how it harms children and women who are caught up and ensnared in the criminal justice system. But she had developed this amazing program to help women who are recovering from addiction stay out of prison and get back on their feet. And to us, she embodied this incredible sort of American ethos of seeing kind of the hard problems and taking personal initiative to go solve them. And in the end, she to us was sort of the symbol of, there are deep, hard problems we face as a country, but there's also incredible people doing really, really good work on the ground trying to solve them. And Mimi embodied that to us more than most.
Chris, how did that interaction affect you?
Oh, deeply. We had a chance to spend a little bit of time with Mimi at her program, as well as outside, and it just really put everything into stark contrast. I mean, we've been having these debates on the road for so long, and then to be there and to hear these women's story and to hear their stories of hope and their stories of change, it was quite moving, and it was really a visual and human experience of the problems that we do face.
The opposite of optimism, of course, is pessimism. You don't think of yourself in those terms necessarily, but you do say that you did feel this unraveling that you were concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I prefer skeptic to pessimist, but I'll vacillate between the two sometimes. I thought it was unavoidable. If you read the reporting, if you watch 60 Minutes, I mean, it's impossible to not see all the issues we face, and it was visible on the road as well. I mean, there were the signs for overdose treatments along the highways in Nevada, the makeshift memorials, what we saw at the Trump rally in the streets afterward, with tear gas flying and water bottles flying as well. You couldn't help but feel the unrest and the sort of deep problems going on. But this project was really about reconciling both my skepticism and Jordan's optimism, and we really found it in the work of people like Mimi and other people who have committed themselves to a brighter future. We try to draw a distinction between optimism and hope. And to us, optimism is a belief that things will get better no matter what. And hope is actually putting in some elbow grease, rolling up your sleeves and doing something about it, making things better. And that's where we really found common ground.
The name of the book is Union, A Democrat, A Republican, and A Search for Common Ground. It is published by Little Brown. Do you think, Jordan, this would have been different? This trip would have been different if you weren't doing it during the 4 years of the Trump administration?
Oh, I think absolutely. I think the Trump election in 2016 was a giant wake-up call across the country. And it made it so that there was something urgent that we had to find on the road. And it made people around us, I think, really wrestle and wonder what was pulling us apart and making our politics seem so deranged. And that question we saw come up everywhere and with everyone we talked to. And so there was this deep sense of we need to understand what is happening to us and what's gone wrong, but also what still binds us together. And so I think that was a very important feature of our trips. Now, on the other hand, I think the sort of idea of the American road trip is this classic American idea, and there's right. So many writers who've done this in the past and explored America from the road, and each one of them has found something special about the American spirit when they do get out on the road, and there's this iconic kind of feel to it. And so, I think we would have seen some similar things. I think we still would have seen how hospitable people were on the road. We would have seen, this sort of interesting mosaic and diversity of the country. But there was something special about this current moment as everybody is wondering what is happening to us.
Jordan, you are a Republican. The Republican and the Republican character in this book. Are you a Trump supporter?
It's a great question, and I always have a hard time answering this. In part because if you ask me policy by policy, do you support what he's doing? It would be probably a mixed answer. I think there are some policies that I do agree with. There's some I disagree with. If you ask me if I support kind of the way he conducts himself as president, my answer would be an unequivocal no. And the reason I have a harder time answering this is I think I have a lot of sympathy for the reasons why a large portion of America resonated to him and the deep grievance they feel about a system that has not worked for them for 30, 40 years. And as America has seen staggering growth in wealth, they've seen declining wages and declining real incomes. In their own lives, and they've seen their lives kind of fall apart as the old modes of living and the jobs they used to have gone away, and they don't see a political class that represents them. And so I have this deep resonance with those feelings, and I think especially having served in the military and seeing how people felt from different parts of the country, I want to defend and to protect that group that does support him. And so I find myself often taking the position of Trump defender for that reason. But it doesn't change the fact that I don't approve of a lot of the ways he's handled himself as president. I think this country deserves a better class of leader, and I'm hoping for that. So that's my sort of slightly more nuanced answer to it.
But that's what it should be, though, right? I mean, isn't that what comes out of your conversations with each other, that it doesn't have to be one way or the other, that it can be nuanced?
Yeah, exactly. And that was our big takeaway on the road. Was whenever we entered conversations in this effort to kind of point score, to win a political argument, our conversations always devolved into these simplistic tit for tat kind of arguments where we never really listened. And it was only when we kind of dropped our political arms, so to speak, and engaged in a much more deeper, nuanced way, were we able to find that on almost issue after issue, there was far more agreement than disagreement, and especially on things like climate change or racial justice or criminal justice, things that we might have been fighting about earlier in these very intense ways. It turned out that we actually had so much more agreement than disagreement.
Chris, I don't want to put ideas in your head or words into your mouth, but if it were me, and I'm going, even though he's a friend, if I'm spending time, I think I would be more intimidated that Jordan served and was a member of the armed forces than I would be that he was a Republican.
Yeah, I don't blame you. My time in D.C., though, sort of got me used to the sort of Marine ethos, the military ethos. One of my best friends growing up or since I was 18 was in the Army. So, I had a sense for what I was getting into. And, Yeah, and in many ways, it became a really important part of our trips. It was amazing how many doors Jordan's veteran status opened for us. Someone would have a kid who was in the military, or a cousin, or you know, that favorite uncle who, you know, who served in Vietnam or had served themselves. And it opened so many doors, and it ushered us into amazing situations that we might not have otherwise been into. And it even probably got us out of a couple of speeding tickets as well.
And Jordan, how do you look at that of going into a conversation, knowing that you've served the country, you were 5 years in the Marine Corps, and that you served in two combat tours overseas, that it does bring some gravitas to the conversation that you're having with people, I assume, of all stripes.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, every Marine will tell you that that they're so proud to be Marines. There's something extremely special about the culture we have in the military. And I think one of the things it does is it's able to take all these people from around the country who have completely different backgrounds and upbringings and then mold them into this common culture and sense of community and brotherhood. And that's really special. And I think I took that with me out on the road. And it definitely helps when you meet someone new, because it creates this immediate bond that you might not otherwise have had. And as Chris said, it definitely opened a lot of doors for us as we're going around the country. I think the initial trust that we had with people was often built on that shared connection. But once that was formed, I think the beautiful thing for me was to watch Chris very quickly bond with all these people. We met this group of veterans in Page, Arizona, who own a shooting range. And two of them were Marines, another was an Army Ranger. And they invited us for a barbecue with them that night. And they did it because I was a Marine, and they saw some common ground with me. But as the evening went on, it was actually Chris who became very close with the veterans and is the one who stays in touch with them to this day. And that to me speaks to, again, this powerful thing about the country, which is that we all have different identities. We all have different things that allow us to connect with people. But underneath it, we all share this deep common sense of warm feeling towards each other. And all it takes is sitting down, breaking bread to find that and cultivate that those bonds.
They were okay with Chris's long hair?
Yeah, they had a fun time making fun of Chris's hair. They also at first thought we were a couple. I think they were a little confused why we were doing these trips together and thought we were a couple. And they didn't care. They welcomed us in nevertheless, and we had a great time.
All right, so
I could have done without my earrings, though, I'll say.
You go out, you do the book. You go out, you have the tour, and you go all over the country. You write about it, and the book comes out. And then we get hit with COVID-19. A pandemic hits this country. Does it change anything that you found? Do you think of anything differently? Do you wonder if there's any really fundamental change or shift or oddness that takes away anything that the two of you learned on this adventure? And Jordan, I'll start with you.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something we've thought a lot about the last few months. I think that the pandemic has definitely clarified some of the early takeaways we had in the book. One thing we felt was that there was this sorting going on across the country, that people were self-segregating into like-minded communities, and they weren't interacting as much with each other as Americans. And we felt that in order to transcend some of the partisan divide we have today, we have to get that mixing going again. And we need people to sit down and meet those who think differently or believe different things. And the pandemic is certainly going to make this harder. You know, someday it will subside. And so we think there is a moral imperative for Americans to get back out on the road and to try to have those serendipitous engagements that form that fellow feeling we've once had and we can have again. And second, I think we saw over and over again that Americans were very dissatisfied with the state of our union at the national level. They felt that our politics had become deranged, that there was too much fighting and polarization, and there were no strong leaders who were acting to bring us together. But at the local level, people have a lot of faith in their own communities to solve problems. And there was trust in their local officials, there's trust in their neighbors. And I think we're seeing that again today with COVID. There are plenty of studies that are showing there's general dissatisfaction with the way our national leaders have handled this. But at the local level, people have a lot of trust in how their leaders have fared. And so I think the pandemic has put a finer point on that takeaway we had on the road.
And Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, there's no denying that the pandemic has accelerated many of the issues that we were writing about and worrying about on the road. Just for an example, Willis, the lobsterman in Portland, Maine, who we spent time with, that whole industry just had the worst 4th of July sales period, in a long time from most of the reporting. The prison we spent time with outside of Detroit has one of the worst infection rates out there. The veterans in Page are small business owners. I can't imagine how hard that is right now. But these are all issues that we were talking about. And the beautiful thing about this country is that there still is that worker mentality, that roll up your sleeves philosophy. I was in New York when the pandemic first got as bad as it did, and when the shelter in place came down. And every night at 7, there was this cacophony of people hitting plates and making as much noise as possible to honor first responders. It was deafening. And, in that sound, you can hear the hope. You can hear what Jordan and I have been trying to write about for the last 4 years. We will meet this if we can sort of harness that desire to build a better union, to build a more perfect union.
The name of the book is Union, A Democrat, A Republican, and A Search for Common Ground. It is published by Little Brown. Jordan Blaschik and Christopher Ha, I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure to have you both on the program. I wish you all the luck in the world.
Joe, thank you so much. This was really wonderful.
Thank you very much. Be
thank
well.
You.
Again, the name of the book is Union, A Democrat, A Republican, and A Search for Common Ground. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.